The book of John, chapter 15, I want to continue this series today, probably next week yet, about abiding in Christ. I hope you've kicked your new year off, you made some resolutions, and I hope by now, through all that I've been preaching, that one of the resolutions you've made, if you didn't already make this somewhere years ago in times past, is that, God, I will read your word daily, and I will apply it to my heart, and I will apply it to my life. Are you doing that? Yep, whoop, hoorah. All right, John 15:5 says, I am the vine, and Jesus is speaking here. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's our main focus in scripture that we're looking at, but don't sit down yet. Turn to Romans chapter 12. When you read the Bible, it's not a book just to be read and just to think upon and be intellectual about, but it is a book that God gave us to change and to transform our lives. And this is what it's to do. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I'm reading from the King James this morning. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, and that's just an old English word for I beg you. I plead with you, is what he was saying. By the mercies of God, through God's grace and God's strength and God's power, that you present your bodies, and that's talking about your physical body, a living sacrifice. You're not your own. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have been bought with a price. And God says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, give them to God. And that sacrifice is to be holy, which means separated to the things of God, to the things that are acceptable to God, it says, which is your reasonable service. This isn't the greatest thing that anybody's ever asked you to do. It isn't an impossible thing that God has asked you to do. He said, this is the reasonable thing that you could do. And what he means is this: Jesus Christ came, lived an example for you and I to follow. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Walk in the steps that I have walked in. He laid down his life on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. So now he's saying the most least you can do, the most reasonable thing that you could do now, since he gave his whole life and his whole body as a sacrifice for you, is to do this. Do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't live according to its philosophies and its ideas and its standards. Don't be conformed to this world. How many of you know the standards in this world aren't very high? They're not very high at all. And they're getting lower all the time. So do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. That is what will transform and change your mind and give you God's view of life rather than the world's view, and God's standards of life rather than the world's view. You know, we're going to stand before God one day at the judgment seat of Christ, even as Christians, and we're not going to be judged by what Oprah thinks about life, or Dr. Phil, or, you know, the latest fad, or this or that or the other thing, or what your neighbor thinks. We're going to be judged by this word. This word. We're coming up for a final exam, and God's giving you the answer book before you get there. Make sure you read it. And not only read it, but learn it, live it, walk in it, so it becomes part and parcel of who and what you are. It will change, it will renew, it will transform your mind. Any of you have trouble sleeping? I don't know that I can fix everything. This may not fix all of it. Some of you are jacked up on caffeine. I don't think anything will fix it. But the reality is, before you lay your head down at night, when all the world and everything else is creeping in and causing all that heart attack tension that you have, get this book out, open it up, let God pour some living water and peace and presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart and life. I guarantee you, if it doesn't fix it, it will help it a lot. Now, You need your mind renewed. Ever had anybody, say this to you? They accuse you. They said, you're brainwashed. You get down there to that church and they're brainwashing you. You know what my answer is to people like that? You should have seen my brain. It needs washed. When I came to Jesus, it was filthy. And it needed to be washed. And Jesus said it would be washed by the water of the cleansing of God's word. God wants to give you a whole different view on life. And he wants to do it for a good reason, so that you can do this, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Who are you going to prove it to? You're going to prove it to yourself. I am going to let you sit down before I start preaching. I'm just getting started. I didn't forget. You're going to prove it to yourself what it is, because Jesus said this. He said, if you want to know whether something you read in the Bible, whether you have the correct understanding of it or not, he said, just do it. He said, if you will do my will, you'll find out whether it's doctrine or not. You know why? Because the Bible is about practical application to everyday life. He said, just do it. So you're going to prove it to yourself. Nobody, and I hear people say this, but they're lying. They're cheating. They'll say, I tried Christianity. It didn't work. I tried church. It didn't work. I tried living for God. It didn't work. That is a lie. First of all, you can't try it. You got to do it. Now, you don't get to just try it. You don't get to just dabble your toe in it a little bit. Try little bits and pieces of it and then go out and tell people it didn't work. God says in Isaiah 55, he said, I sent this word to accomplish something in your life. And he said, it will not return void. It will accomplish the thing I sent it to do. But it'll only do that if you learn it and then you put it into practice. What I started to say at the beginning of that statement is this. You cannot do what this book says and not have your life changed for the better, for the good, to have every chain, every bondage, every hindrance in life be broken and be set free, because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. All right, bow your heads. We need to pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne right now and thank you that we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You sent your Son, you sent your Holy Spirit, you sent your Word, Lord God, to heal us, and you have protected it from the foundations of the world, and you said heaven and earth will pass away before one comma, one period, one jot, one tittle of this Word ever leaves this earth. People ask me how I know. I say, God promised. And Lord, I thank you that your Word is unchangeable, immutable, it is settled forever in heaven. It is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You are the final word, O God. And Lord, I pray that you let this word be born in our hearts today. Touch each and every one of us and draw us to the Son. Help us, Lord, to kiss the Son, lest he be angry, as the psalmist said. God, touch our hearts and lives, change us, transform us, renew us by the power of the Holy Spirit in your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, all right, now you can be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about revelation and transformation. Revelation is when God reveals not just to your mind, but he reveals to your heart, he reveals to your spirit the light and the truth of the gospel, the light and truth of his word. Revelation is when you are sitting and reading the Bible, and this Bible is living and quick and powerful. Revelation is when you sit and you read something in the Word of God that maybe you've read 50 times, but today it jumps off the pages at you. It speaks to your heart. You're in some circumstance, some situation that makes it literally come alive to you. That's revelation. And if you get revelation through the Holy Spirit like that, what's going to happen is it's going to give you a different view of Christ. You're going to see Christ. You're going to know Christ. That's why the Bible said you must be born again if you're going to see the kingdom of God. when God touches your heart with this word, it gives you revelation. And when you get a revelation just because of what you see, just because you behold the Lord in all of his goodness and his likeness, just because you see what you have not been able to see up to that point, you get transformed in some measure, in some weight, in some way in your heart and in your life. It changes you. You're never the same again when you see, when that light, we call it, that light comes on, that revelation of God comes to you. That's why you have to be born of the Spirit, because this isn't about intellectual knowledge and understanding. You can sit down and read this book and never get revelation, never know God. In fact, this word tells us that. I shared with you last week in the third chapter, I believe it's 1 Timothy, it might be 2 Timothy. God said there'll be people that are ever learning this book, ever learning, studying it, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Because, he said, they will deny the power of it. Because they don't want to do it, because they don't want to live it, because they don't want to walk in it. It'll just stay a closed book to them, no matter how much they study it. For some reason, a lot of them are in seminaries. And then they get out of seminaries and they put them on National Geographic and they put them on the Learning Channel and they put them on television and you hear them talk about the Bible and, you know, they say all kind of dumb stuff. I usually, when I watch Bible commentary shows like that on TV, usually within about the first 3 or 4 minutes, I can tell there's no use to watch this. They don't know anything about the basic truths of the Bible. Why? Because they try to study it just from man's intellectual standpoint without the revelation and light of the knowledge of God. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I've shared with you the Bible's the instruction manual to life. Are you looking at it? Are you checking it out? Are you looking to see if maybe some areas of your life you might be able to do a little differently with God's help and direction? I've also shared with you that you have to be born again of the Spirit. Why? Because it's spiritually discerned. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it says, people who do not have God's Spirit do not accept the things that come from His Spirit. They think these things are foolish. They cannot understand them because they can only be understood with the Spirit's help. You know, if the Bible and the gospel were at the mercy of man's intellectual knowledge, there would more than likely be a lot of us who wouldn't have enough intellect and enough knowledge to comprehend it, to be saved, to walk with God, and to live with Him. But the reality is because God reveals His truth by His Spirit, He can do that to the most uneducated person. He can, most of the time, worldly education gets in the way of godly education. Now, not always. You don't have to be a dummy to believe in Jesus. I know, you know, there's a lot of people think you and I aren't smart enough to not believe the Bible, don't they? They think you got a couple screws loose. Because if you didn't have those screws loose, you wouldn't be stupid enough to be reading this book and thinking there's something to it. But thank God, God can reveal His Word, His will, His Spirit, through His Spirit, to the smallest child. And it doesn't matter if that child's body is completely whole and their mind's completely sound or if they have some handicap or dysfunction. It doesn't matter. God can touch us through His Spirit, touch our hearts and lives, and reveal the gospel to us. No matter what our background, no matter what place we are, because it is a spiritual thing. I shared with you last week, too, you've got to be born of the Spirit, but you also have to be born of the Word of God. And this is why so many Christians live such pitiful Christian lives. You love God. You love God's people. You come to church pretty frequently. You know, you got bumper stickers on your car and magnets on your refrigerator, and you post the little spiritual mimes or memes or whatever they are on Facebook and, you know, Instagram and all that stuff. I have some back here, but thank you, dear. That's my daughter. She makes sure I have some water. But you just never settle down and open this book and say, God, what are you saying to me as an individual? What are you speaking to me, God, that will change and transform my life? Some of you struggle in your marriages. It's the instruction manual to life, and yet you never crack it open. You go to bed frustrated. You scratch your head. You say, I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. But you never crack open the instruction manual. God can teach you truth and revelation in every single area of your life. It doesn't matter where you hurt or what you're going through, what your problem is, what your mountain is to climb. God has the answer in His Word. But you got to crack the book open. Listen to what 1 Peter says. It says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Now, every time the Bible talks about being able to get into this Word and understand it, it always comes with a little prefix and a little warning label that says, in order to understand the book, you got to be at a place where you're ready to clean your act up, where you're ready to do what it says. God is a very good steward of everything. And you know what? He's not going to give you very much truth out of this book, not very much revelation and knowledge, if you're not willing to put it into practice. In fact, Jesus said in one place, He said, to the person that has, speaking of the knowledge in the light of God's Word, He said, to the person that has, in other words, the person that hears it and in an honest and good heart keeps it and does it and puts it into practice, He said, I'm going to give more. I'm going to give more light. I'm going to give more knowledge. I'm going to give more revelation. He said, but to the one that has not, I'm going to take away even what he seems to have. What God is saying is this: learning the Bible is progressive learning and knowledge. When you do the first things that God shows you and you put them into practice and you start to walk in them and they become part and parcel of who you are, then he's going to give you some more. And if you put that into practice and it becomes a part of you and you begin to walk in it, the light's going to get brighter and he's going to give you some more. But at any point, you say, no, God, that's enough. Right here. I'm going to park right here. And a lot of people do that. Why? Because sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes God asks us to do things that in our hearts and minds we think we're not ready to do. And we say no to God. And you know what happens? You stop right there. That's where you'll stop. And you can read the book from cover to cover for the next 10 years, but until you do the next thing that God is teaching you to do, you're stuck. God says of Israel in the Old Testament, in the wilderness, they were stuck in a place called Gilgal. It means a place of a circle. How many of you know, you don't have to raise your hand because we've all been there. I've been there many times. You don't learn the lesson the first time through the wilderness, what happens? You get to come around to that post again. You can run, you can hide, you can squeal and bawl and come up with all your excuses. And God says, fine, when you get done all that whining, we're going to go right back to the same spot and we're going to learn the same lesson till you get this. All right? So you walk. The writer of Proverbs said the path of the just is like a light that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. As long as you hear God's word and you keep obeying God's word, you're going to keep getting light. That's why a lot of people don't get real deep spiritually. Because it's not about head knowledge. You know, you're not deep spiritually because you read every commentary in your library or you've read every version of the Bible that's out. You're deep spiritually when you've read this word, it's gotten inside of you, and you walk and you live. You've separated yourself as a sacrifice, holy to God. You walk and you do His will, and you show your own heart and the rest of the world watching you His good and perfect and acceptable will. The apostles and disciples said it this way. They said, we are written epistles of God's word. You know, you and I are supposed to be the same thing. Written epistles on our hearts. When people look at our lives, they ought to be able to see Scripture lived out. We ought to be the personification of the gospel that we say that we believe. And we can by God's mercy. Now, since you have in obedience to the truth, 1 Peter 1:22, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Here's another way you'll know when you're getting true biblical understanding of things. You will grow in love. Because the Bible said, any other knowledge that you get, prophecy that you get, understanding that you get, that doesn't produce the love of God in your heart and in your life, is nothing. You're just making noise. You can have faith so you can move mountains. You can speak in tongues. You can do a million other things. But if it isn't producing love in you and through you to those around you, then it's not spiritual revelation. He said, for you have been born again, not of the seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. I've had a lot of people try to drag me in a lot of different directions since I became a Christian almost 40 years ago. And I tell almost every one of them, I said, you got to me too late. I've read the book. I know what's in the book. And you know what else? When you know what's in the book, you're going to learn the voice of the shepherd. And when you know the voice of the shepherd, you know it when you hear it, and you won't follow anyone else. Don't matter how they look or what they say or how good it looks or sounds to you. You're like, it's not the shepherd. I know the shepherd. I know the shepherd of the book. I know the sound of his voice. I know who he is, what he is, his character, his divine nature that is revealed here. And sometimes when they come, I say, you're not it. You may think you're it, but you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. You need to get in the book. Amen. You need to get in the book. It isn't just for preachers. Through the living and enduring Word of God. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 said, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. I know a lot of you think you need to go through therapy to make that happen. You know, you think you need to go through this program and that program and the other thing. You know what God says you need to do? Just stop it. He said, therefore, put aside all malice. You know what that word malice is? It's meanness, nastiness. Put aside all that. Put aside all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. And like newborn babies. See, this isn't somebody that's walked with God 20 years and finally straightened up. This is newborn babies that realize, if I'm going to live the life that God's called me to live, I got to get done with sin. It's not all right. It's not all right to just be me or be like Uncle Harry, because that's how we all are. You know, Grandma Jones or whoever. I need to be like Jesus. Therefore, I need to put aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Now, a little word of warning here. Make sure you're born again. Don't try to do this on your own. You will not accomplish it on your own. How do I get born again? You tell God, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to repent all this stuff. I'm ready to stop doing all this stuff, and I need your help, and I need your spirit. If you'll put it in me, God, and then the next step I'm going to take as a newborn babe is I'm going to start getting my head and my heart filled with this word so that I can be born of the word as well as the spirit. It said, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. I want to ask you something. Are you born again? Are you born again of the Holy Spirit? If you are, one of the beginning signs is you're going to want to know God, and you're going to have a hunger for this word. Before I became a Christian, a few people, not many, but a few people asked me, they said, do you want to go to church? I said, absolutely not. You don't want to come down here, you know, on Sunday? And I said, no. Well, why not? I said, there's nothing down there I want. I'm not interested in any of that. I don't know that I actually said that outright to anybody, but I guarantee you I said it inside. Before you're born again, you don't want anything to do with the things of God. But you know what? As soon as the Spirit of God really gets down inside of you, I mean, when you really, truly are born again of the Spirit of God, you can't get enough of church. You can't get enough of being around God's people. You can't get enough of learning the Bible. You just want more, 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 more. And the deeper you get, the more passionate you get about it. So I ask you, are you really born again? You see, a lot of people just come to church out of habit. I know that's the right thing to do. You know, grandma and grandpa did it, and mom, dad's doing it, and I need to do it too. But do you love God? Do you hunger after God? Is there down in your soul this seed, this fire that says, I want to be like you, Jesus? A lot of you there is, I know. You wouldn't show up here all the time. I can't get rid of some of you. Church gets over, you know, you look like you're about to pass out sometimes. I get done preaching, but as soon as church is over, man, everybody's up, and I have to tell them now, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. And you show up for Bible studies, and you show up for, you know, the life classes that we have, and I see you toting your Bible and reading your Bible, and you're talking to me about Scripture all the time. You just can't get enough. Are you born again? Are you really born again? Because anything other than that is just religious exercises. You might be a good old boy or a good old girl, and you might do a few good things and do a few good things that God wants you to do once in a while, but are you born again? Has the Spirit of God changed and transformed your heart, your desires, your wants? Do you passionately want to love and serve God? That's what I'm asking you. Pastor Ken, I didn't know you were going to put it that way this morning. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Talks about born again people. Whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. You know what that new way is? It's the way that's found in the Word. You get in the Word of God and you find out exactly how God wants you to act, how He wants you to talk, how He wants you to walk, how He wants you to relate to other people, what He wants you to do with the resources that you have and the talents and abilities you have. You're going after God and saying, God, I don't want to live the way I used to live. I don't want to live the way the world is trying to get me to live. God, I only want to live the way you want me to live. I want to be like your son, Jesus Christ, who stood at one point and he said, I do always those things that please my heavenly Father. Now, he was God and he was perfect and he did do it always. And you're not perfect and you're not God and you are going to mess up once in a while, but you don't live in it. You don't walk in it. You don't make excuses for it. When you do mess up, you say, God, I'm sorry. I repent. If you help me, I won't continue to do this. And you keep on walking with God. And you walk in this new way, which is Christ. Now, if you're really born again and you haven't done it yet, I shared this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to share it again because some of you are here that weren't here then. If you want to start reading the Bible, a good place for you to start today would be in the class tonight from 4 to 6. I mean, you could really kick her off if you want to. But if you can't do that, start in the New Testament. There's an Old and New Testament. Start in the New Testament. There's four Gospels in the beginning of it. And I know you church people are saying, Pastor Ken, that's pretty basic stuff. Why are you sharing that? You'd be surprised how many people do not know that about the Bible. I have sat in people's living room and I said, turn to Matthew, it's in the New Testament. And they're like, new what? We are living in a post-Christian nation where people no longer know what some of you learned in Sunday school years ago. But there are four books in the beginning of the New Testament, about middle ways through the book. They're the stories of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I encourage you to start with the book of John. Read through it. Read through the next book, which is the book of Acts. Then go back to the beginning of the New Testament in the book of Matthew and start reading through it and go to the book of Revelation. And when you get all that done, then you can go all the way back to the beginning of the book, which is Genesis, and you can start there. If you can only read a verse a day, that'll be 365 verses this time next year that you'll know more than you know right now. think about it, church, if we could get a church body together that knew in their heart and understood 365 scriptures, that would be life transforming. That would be life changing. It would be church changing. It would be community changing if we could do that. And you can do that. You need, and let me say this, when you're reading the Bible, people say, well, how do I know when I read it I'm getting the right understanding? How do I interpret the Bible? You don't have to interpret the Bible. It interprets itself. If you read it, it's self-correcting, it's self-teaching, it's self-interpreting. And God, through the Holy Spirit, will show you exactly what it means. In fact, one of my favorite sayings is this. The Bible sheds great light on commentaries. Yeah, don't get all the other study books out and see what it has to say about the Bible. Learn the Bible first, then to get in the study books. You'd be surprised. Why? Because Jesus said, it's so simple a little child can receive it if you've got a heart to do it. Remember, you got to walk in it for it to keep revealing itself to you. You got to obey what it says. But don't worry about what you don't understand as you read through it. Just put into practice what you do understand. And God will give you more light. If you come across something you don't understand what it says, God probably isn't speaking to you about that right at that time. Keep on reading until he does. But read the Word of God. You need to read and study the Word yourself. Many times, thank God, I've been a pastor for 31 years now. Many times people come up after church and pat me on the back and they say, Pastor Ken, that's a really good message. That's a good word. And sometimes I want to ask them, how do you know? How do you know that's a good word? Oh, it made me feel good. It gave me the warm fuzzies. 900 people followed Jim Jones to Guyana because it felt good and it had the warm fuzzies. 100 of them almost burned up with David Koresh in Waco, Texas. And before they got to that point, it all felt good and gave them the warm fuzzies. You know, it sounded good. It sounded right. No matter who you hear preach, the only way you're going to know if they're preaching the word or not and preaching the truth or not, guess what, is if you know the word. Right? This word is about your eternal soul and where you're going to spend eternity. Don't leave it in somebody else's hands to figure it out for you. Right? Come to know that you know that you know. In fact, you need to know. 1 John 5:13 said, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. You say, well, Pastor Ken, I hope I do. I wish I do. I think I do. I feel like I do sometimes. You can know, but you got to know the word. You got to know the word. Listen to Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Did you hear what it said? I mean, did you really hear it? It said, read a few scriptures every once in a while. It said, memorize John 3:16 only because everybody knows that one. No, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There's a lot of people that are knowledgeable about a lot of things and good at a lot of things, but this is the one thing I want to be more knowledgeable about than anything else that exists in this world. I want to know more about this book than I know about any other thing in my life. It said, let it dwell in you richly. And the way you do that is you read it, what you learn and what you hear, you put it into practice until it becomes part and parcel of you. I can scare my wife to death sometimes driving a car because I can drive down 495 now. I can be hitting the button on my Bluetooth. I can be punching the next track on the CD player. You know, I can be looking out the left mirror and driving down the road right in the middle of 495. And she's like, you better get your eyes on that road. I have driven so much that driving is like second nature to me anymore. I don't even have to think about much of it. You just do it. You know, when the first time I went out in the car in driver's ed, I was chewing gum, and we went through an intersection, and one of my school buddies was standing over off the side of the intersection, and I went to wave at him, and I almost run him down, Deb. You know, my father-in-law used to say, bless his heart, he said, Kenny, I don't know if you can chew bubble gum and walk at the same time. Tricked him. I learned a few things. But you know, when we really learn how to do something, it just becomes part and parcel of who and what we are. We don't even have to think about it anymore. And that's how you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, if you never look in the book and, you know, you're about to lose it and your top's about to blow off and, you know, you're steaming out the ears and you're like, oh man, I know somewhere in here, somewhere it says, don't be angry, don't let the sun go, there it is. You're probably not going to conquer your anger problem real fast, right? But when that word is so embedded and so ingrained in you that it is a part of who you are because you practiced it, because you said, God, I'm going to do your will. You don't have to look up scriptures to live out the gospel. You are the gospel. Peter said it this way, through his word you become partakers of the divine nature. You get this word down inside of you, let it transform you till you act like Christ. You talk like Christ. You walk like Christ. You have the character, the nature, and the attitude of Christ. There are people that do that all the time. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, it goes on. It says, teaching and admonishing one another. You're not only supposed to learn the book, you're supposed to share it with other people. Share it with other people. How'd I do that? Well, you got to know a little bit of it. You know what I've found? If I'm learning this word and I get in a life situation with somebody, I can usually tell them what this word says. And I don't have to say, you know, this is Ephesians 5 verse 11. I just say, this is what you need to do. This is what God says and what God speaks into this situation and circumstance. And the more of it you know, the more of it you can share. Jesus said the scribes of the kingdom are like somebody that has a bag of goodies and they've got new things in it and they've got old things in it. I haven't heard this. Maybe you're afraid to say it to me, but I know sometimes some of you got to be thinking, Pastor Kenny, I've heard that story 500 times. But I want to ask you something. You know why you've heard it 500 times and you keep hearing it? God's going to ask you a question one day. He's going to say, who'd you share it with? Who'd you share it with? See, some of you have walked with the Lord so long, I doubt seriously that I can wow you with anything in the Bible anymore. But that's not my job. My job isn't to wow you and keep the hellbound spellbound. My job is to teach you the word so that you can go out and share it with other people. So you can tell them. And you can be a teacher. Oh, Pastor Ken, I could never do that. I've been on the mission field in the Philippines, and there are thousands of churches over there. And most of the time when I get invited to go, they want me to go and teach at pastors' conferences. Did you know that most of the pastors in the Philippines that are pastoring churches, some of them very large churches, don't have as much Bible knowledge as most of you have? You know why? They don't have Christian bookstores, and they don't have Christian radio out in those jungles, and you know they can't just run here and there and pick up 15 different versions of the Bible. All they know is a little bit that they themselves read and that others teach them. Now, some of them are being taught. We've helped start Bible colleges over there because of that reason. But the reason I'm sharing that with you is this. In America, we'll sit in church, and some of us know probably two-thirds or three-quarters of this book. And yet if somebody asks us to teach a class or to teach kids, no, I can't do that. You know what a lot of those pastors in the Philippines are? They're just vessels. They're not educated. They haven't been to Bible college. They don't know half of the stuff that you know about God. But they say, God, If nobody else will go, I'll go. I want to share the gospel with everybody I can share the gospel with, and I'll share what I know. I met an old pastor years ago down in Tennessee. He couldn't read and he couldn't write, and his wife would read the scripture to him. And he'd get up and he'd preach the Bible, and this was his favorite saying. He pretty much memorized what she would say to him, and he'd get up and preach, but if he got to a part he couldn't remember what it was, he'd just say, so on and so forth. And he would say that a lot. But you know what? He was pastoring a church. He was reaching people for Christ. He was sharing what he knew and what he understood. And that's what God wants us to do. He said, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, the music that we do here isn't just music for the sake of music or just, you know, playing instruments. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but as much as we possibly can, every week when we have a service, the lyrics in the songs, one, are scripture, and two, they are also preaching the same message that I'm going to preach. Sometimes very uncannily, because sometimes Brother Matt, our worship leader, he'll put those song services together and have no idea what I'm going to preach. And we'll get here and I'll get done a message and he'll start singing a song or they'll start leading us in worship and start singing. And I'm thinking, man, that's the exact thing that I've talked about. And we try to do that on purpose. We do it accidentally sometimes, but we try to do it on purpose. Why? Because you're going to remember those songs. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Why? You remember that. Jesus said, be the light of the world. Be a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. We learn through singing and spiritual songs. It says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We need to do that ourselves. That's one of the reasons we need to come to church. Songs are a great way to memorize scripture. They really are. You just listen to it. You hear it over and over again. You got a little tune, man, and it just gets going. But don't forget while you're tapping your foot and snapping your fingers and listen to the song to say, I need to do what this says. This needs to be a part of my life, part and parcel. And then you also need pastors and teachers. A lot of people out here lost in the world telling you, I don't need church. I love God. Yeah, right. You need pastors and you need teachers. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, for after then the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, that is man's wisdom, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. My first pastor used to say, it doesn't say by foolish preachers. It says by the foolishness of preaching. You need preaching. You know why? Because if you only look, this is why you need church too. If you only look at the Bible through just your eyes, without anybody else's input, influence, or accountability, you're only going to see what you want to see. You're only going to see what you want to see. You know what preaching does? It helps you take a stethoscope to other areas of your heart and life that you might not think about or that you might not look at, and gives God a way to examine us and help us to learn and help us to grow. So you need preaching and teaching from teachers and other people. I need preaching and teaching from other people. We need the Holy Spirit, we need the Word, but we need each other. You want to do some really dumb stuff, you want to get really crazy, go off in the corner somewhere with the Bible by yourself, and just by yourself alone, you come up with your own religion and follow it. You know what you'll create? A cult. That's what David Koresh did. That's what Reverend Moon did. That's right. That's what Joseph Smith did. Charles Taze Russell. That's what he did. You know who he is? He started Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, he didn't call them that. He called them the Millennial Dawns. What a name. Every cult that exists, if you research how they get started, this is how they get started, every one of them. You got a man or a woman that doesn't like church the way it is. who goes out on a hill in the woods by themselves. All of them. I've studied them. All of them. He said, now, God, I'm going to stay right here with a book until you show up and tell me what is really the truth. They all did it, but Charles Taze Russell ended up with the New World Translation, the book of the Jehovah's Witnesses Bible. They didn't like hell. They didn't like Jesus being God, so they just took this book and erased all that. Joseph Smith, he's a real character. He goes out on the hill, does the same thing, and an angel called Moroni shows up. That's who that angel is on top of that big temple down there on 495. That's Moroni. Moroni shows up to Joseph Smith when he's a teenager, and he said, Joseph, if you'll go around the corner here, there's a stump, and it's got some brass tablets in it, and there's hieroglyphic writing on it. You go check that out. That's the truth, brother. That's the way. So he went around, and he went, and he found the brass tablets, and he looked at them, and he said, it's Greek to me. I don't know what it's saying. I can't understand it. Moroni shows up again and gives him a set of spectacles. And when he puts those spectacles on, he can read what's on those brass tablets. And he translates it into the Book of Mormon. They lost the spectacles and the plates. You know, never seen, never heard. But we got a religion that every time you come down 495 West, you know, from down in D.C., you get to see that big old Mormon track. That's what I call it, Mormon track out in front of you. 14 million people believe that stuff because they never read this. Because they never read this. Because they never read this. You need to know. It's so simple, a little child could have seen through that. You know what David Koresh told his followers? I'm God. I'm God, and the end of the world's here. 80-something that burned up and perished with him with tanks outside believed it. A little child, if they know the scriptures, can say, if they say, lo, here he is, or lo, there he is, or if he comes and says he's this thing, the other thing, he said, don't follow him. I mean, basic Sunday school would teach you that, but people don't read the book. Those people sold their homes, moved out of their communities and their families, and let somebody lead them like that because they didn't know the book. Or they got by themselves with the book and became their own religion and their own God. Ephesians 4:11 says this, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. You know what works of service are? It's ministry. The Bible, one of the things it's going to do to change and transform your life is it isn't going to give you a lot of religious things to do one day a week to come in and do. It's going to give you a lifetime of serving Christ, finding a place in the work of the kingdom and doing it full time. It's going to equip you for the work of the ministry. The world's going to hell. Fast. Faster. Warp speed. And you're only going to come to church on Sunday and do a couple religious things here, and then you're going to go out and live the rest of your life and just do whatever you want to do while the world's on fire. See, this word will change you. It will change you because it will equip you. It will teach you. It will mold you. It will make you a disciple of Jesus Christ. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what church is about. That's what learning this word's about. This word is the thing that will help you to grow up and mature until you live and walk and talk and act and breathe like Jesus Christ himself. Revelation and transformation comes from the practical application of God's word. In other words, doing what the word says. I'm going to ask the worship team to come to the platform, if you would. While they're coming, I want to read this to you. Look up on the screens. So get rid of every evil in your lives, every kind of wrong that you do. Do you see a trend here in these scriptures? Every time God's instructing us to get in His Word, He said, before you do it, you got to make up your mind that you're done with sin, you're done with evil, you're done with wrong. I don't know if most of you know the story of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table and the sword Excalibur that was in the stone. And the story goes that in order to pull that sword out of the stone, you had to what? You had to be pure of heart. You had to be pure of life. You had to be a follower of God. You couldn't have sin and disobedience and wrong in your life. If you did, you could not pull that sword out of that stone. That whole story is an allegory of this story. And that's what God is saying right here in James again. He's saying, if you got sin in your life, willful sin, willful disobedience with God, you're doing evil things, you're not going to be able to pull the sword out of the stone. So you got to settle right from the beginning. God, I'm done with all that. Listen to what James says. So get rid of every evil in your lives, every kind of wrong that you do. Be humble and accept God's teaching that is planted in your hearts. This teaching can save you. Do what God's teaching says. Don't just listen and do nothing. When you only sit and listen, you're fooling yourselves. Hearing God's teaching and doing nothing is like looking at your face in the mirror and then doing nothing about what you saw. You go away and immediately forget how bad you looked. When you look into God's perfect law that sets people free, pay attention to it. If you do what it says, you'll have God's blessing. Never just listen to His teaching and forget what you heard. Revelation and transformation through the Word. Got one scripture, and then we're going to close in prayer, and we're going to worship a little bit, and we're going to get before the Lord and let God touch us in this place. Amen? I'm trying to get done, so we've got time left to do it. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 7:24 about hearing and obeying and living the Word. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Floods and winds and rains and the enemy of our souls and eventually death itself is going to come knocking at all of our doors. But if we are rooted and grounded in this and living what this word says, it won't matter what comes. We will not fall. And we will not fail. Our house is built on a rock because we listen to the rock and we do what it says. But he went on and said this in closing. He said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell and great was its fall. Life's going to get you. Somebody next door might get you. Somebody that you work with might get you. None of them might not touch you, but death is going to get you one of these days, nothing short of the rapture. Don't you want your house to stand? Built on the rock for time and eternity. You got to do the word. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Whew. It's a powerful word. Are you breathing? It's pretty quiet in here this morning. All right, let's stand to our feet and bow our heads if you would.